Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, Houston. Clint Stoerner, Jeremy Branham, and boy, the Wall Street Journal makes Jeff Luhnow not look so good. Codebreaker, Dark Arts. Jeff Luhnow knew about all of this sign-stealing scandal before we even knew it was a thing.
JB.
It's good.
What in the hell is going on, or was going on, over there at Minute Maid Park?
Friday was rough for Astro fans. Friday was a rough evening for Astro fans.
I mean, it's just, I don't even know where to start. The fact that the Wall Street Journal article, right?
Think about that day, though, first. Like A.J. Hinch talks at 5. Like, that's A.J. Hinch, however he came out looking, I think he came out looking good, but still, like, people are ready to dig in on the Astros. Like, they got ammo from A.J. Hinch's interview, right?
Right.
So that comes out. And then all of a sudden, this Wall Street Journal article pops about an hour later. And it's just not a good 3 hours for Houston Astro fans Friday evening.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta believe that some of this was expected. I mean, I think as they go to training camp, spring training.
Dollar in the jar.
Dollar in the jar. As they go to spring training and they face the music, you know, I think there's more and more things like this some of the details are going to start to creep out. But for me, when did Hinch – you know, did he say anything that just kind of, you know, blew you away with, man, I didn't know that was, I didn't see that coming? I don't know. I mean, I think there was more appeal to the fact that it was A.J. Hinch, the Astros manager, that was suspended and then fired, first time speaking to the public. I think there was more appeal to that what he said. And we'll go into some of the things that he said, because last week, last Friday, we were actually on air when that thing popped, and we were able to turn some of it and hear some of it in our last segment. But so we'll hit some of that later on today. But I don't know that it wasn't more about him speaking for the first time that drew the attention. This Wall Street Journal article, there's more to chew on. There's more details that leave you a little bit confused based off of what you know happened as far as Jeff Luhnow speaking to the media, right? And Jim Crane speaking to the media. It leaves you with a little bit of confusion of how a guy like Jeff Luhnow steps to the mic and essentially says, or releases a statement. I'm sorry, I didn't step to the mic. Releases a statement that essentially says, I didn't know anything about it. And then the Wall Street Journal drops an article that clearly him not knowing anything about it is a bold-faced lie.
Right.
You know, I don't know to what extent he knew, but clearly it is a bold-faced lie when Jeff Luhnow stands up immediately after being suspended and fired and says that he didn't know anything about the sign-stealing scandal that was going on in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, the Wall Street article by Jared Diamond is something that it's pretty damning for Jeff Luhnow, to say the least. And if you're unaware of what we're talking about, Jared Diamond writes for the Wall Street Journal, and he wrote the article talking about, you know, the Astros sign-stealing scandal. And Astros even had a term for it, according to Jared Diamond. It was called Codebreaker. That was the PowerPoint presentation that an intern gave to Jeff Luhnow before 2017. It was talked about in emails within the organization as the dark arts of what the Astros were doing. And this information comes from an email sent by MLB Commissioner Robert Manfred on January 2nd. It outlined the findings of a league investigation as well as interviews with several people familiar with the matter. This was a few weeks before Major League Baseball dropped the hammer on Luhnow and Hinch. So basically they were telling Jeff Luhnow what they found in their investigation, and Manfred flat out told Jeff Luhnow that, look, we probably can't prove that you put it into play. We can't prove that you were an active participant in this, but at the very least, we know that you were aware of it And it contradicts what Jeff Luhnow said in that statement whenever all of this went down.
Yeah, I mean, to the point of where, correct me if I'm wrong, but don't they allude in the article to the fact that it was a front office scheme?
Front office scheme. That it was, it started basically on an intern by an intern that gave a PowerPoint presentation to Jeff Luhnow on September 22nd, 2016. So whenever we had the story that came out from The Athletic that said that this was something that was inspired by a player and a coach, this contradicts that. The story by Jared Diamond of the Wall Street Journal says no, that this started off in the front office when an intern gave the PowerPoint presentation known as Codebreaker to general manager Jeff Luhnow.
Well, there's a couple of WTFs in this one. There's a couple of WTFs in this one. And first of all, that's the first one right there. Is that this was, or it's being alluded to as a front office scheme. It's being mentioned that Jeff Luhnow at the very least knew about it. And the second part of it, JB, that was I think a little bit telling, or that caught my eye,
yeah,
was there in quotes were emails exchanged that mentioned or questioned how much of this scheme did A.J. Hinch actually know about.
Yeah, there was a guy who worked in the front office by the name of Coke Wesser. He got demoted going into the 2019 season, which throws a wrinkle into all of this. And according to Major League Baseball, it turned into like this he said between Coke Wesser and Jeff Luhnow whenever they were going through the investigations. But according to one email between Luhnow and Coke Wesser, Luhnow told this to Coke Wesser: how much of this stuff do you think Hinch is aware of? Talking about Codebreaker and Major League Baseball in the dark arts that were in the Houston Astros front office.
Yeah, so that makes me feel for A.J. Hinch. Obviously, he knew.
Yep.
He knew what was going on by his own accord. I mean, that interview told us a lot about what he knew and didn't know, and how he handled it, and wish he would have handled it differently. But to think that throughout it all, the general manager and the front office and the individuals that were actually code breaking, so to speak, questioned how much A.J. Hinch knew. I think it speaks to the fact that A.J. Hinch was probably outside of the circle relative to who was actually doing the work. Obviously, the players that were actually executing it. Golly, that's tough.
Yeah, the article by Wall Street Journal is really good. It's really it provides details that we weren't aware of, like how they did it. They went through a like they were using the camera to get the signs, right? And they were putting it into an Excel spreadsheet and determining the algorithm, and then determining what pitch was coming based on the algorithm. So it was very revealing in that front. And one of the biggest cliff notes that I saw of this, I was reading this article and tweeting about it, my JB notes as I call them. And the fact
that's
that
cute.
This
that's
was
cute,
the, I appreciate you saying that. I call that my, it's me being clever, I would say. But the thing that I tweeted about whenever I was reading this, that it's the first time I've seen this from anybody. Because what's the biggest defense that Astro fans give whenever you talk about the sign-stealing scandal? It's, we won the World Series on the road. We went into Dodger Stadium and beat L.A. on the road in L.A. And that's when we won our first World Series title, was in L.A. on the road, away from Minute Maid Park. This Wall Street Journal article says that this was something that was going on the road as well.
Well, that'd be tough to explain for me is how you would get that access to that camera consistently. But I guess if it exists here, I don't know why it wouldn't exist in other ballparks. Yeah, I mean, look, when you talk about essentially it being a front office scheme, Hinch may or may not have known about it at this time, and it was happening on the road as well. This is just a bomb that's dropped into the original, some of the original reports and beliefs of what went on at Minute Maid.
Yeah, exactly. And there are going to be a lot of questions at spring training whenever spring training rolls around. And as you said, pitchers and catchers report very soon. And Sports Radio 610 is going to be there thanks to Texas Bay Credit Union. We'll be on site at spring training as soon as we hear all of what the Astros have to say in regards to everything that has happened in the offseason. We'll be there thanks to Texas Bay Credit Union. We'll get your calls on this, too, if you want to get in. 713-572-4610. This wasn't the only thing going on this weekend in Houston. There was also a new league getting started just down the road at TDECU Stadium on the beautiful campus of the University of Houston. The Roughnecks made their debut, finally, this past weekend.
Yeah, the XFL kicked off, man. Look, and here's, and I played in a few developmental leagues, I guess is what you can call them, the Arena League, the NFL Europe, and so, and this is very similar. In fact, Oliver Luck, who is one of the figureheads in the XFL, was also very instrumental in NFL Europe back in the day. So a lot of the same faces, same people involved. And I always think about it and look at it like this, JB, is when a league like this kicks off, you've got one opportunity. You've got one opportunity to grab the audience's attention and have them go talk to their friends about it and help get more viewers the next week, sell more tickets the next week, and help that interest grow it's immediate. It either grows or it shrinks immediately. And I think the XFL did a hell of a job. The TV crews were absolutely money. The viewer access was golden, man, where you could hear the coaches' play calls. You could hear the quarterbacks in the huddle. You could hear the officials during reviews and conversations. And there's a handful of rules that I love to the point that I think that the NFL will end up adopting these rules.
Which ones are they? I really have some that I like, too.
Well, I think the communication with all the skilled guys, mm-hmm. right? I think that is one that speeds the game up, cleans the game up. The kickoff, I think, is great. I think the kickoff's a no-brainer. So the fact that it's you go from having conversations about eliminating the kickoff overall to the way that they implemented the kickoff was really, really cool and much safer. And so I think that's one. And then the ball spotter. There's an actual ref official that is spotting the ball immediately. It's our only job is spotting the football. And so it speeds up the pace of play a little bit. And I just think those are three things that, along with the ability for viewers to get in with the refs and the coaches and the quarterbacks and hear more, I think that'll be a big part of it as well.
Yeah, I'm a critic. You can try to sell me on it throughout the show because I still view it as minor league football. But there was a lot of fun to like it. There was a lot of fun with it involved this past weekend. Going out to the stadium, I'm sure, was something that was really fun. But how XFL, I thought you described it well. They have all the attention right now.
Yes.
How can they capture
that audience? They did a hell of a job
week
one, JB. Yep. They did a hell of a job week one.
There's a former Major League Baseball pitcher that filed a $31 million civil lawsuit against the Houston Astros. Mike Bolsinger, who pitched for the Toronto Blue Jays in 2017. The last time he pitched, care to guess who the last opponent that he pitched against?
Say it ain't so.
It was the Houston Astros on August 4th, 2017. He pitched a third of an inning, gave up four runs, and would never, ever, ever pitch again in Major League Baseball. Well, Mike Bolsinger filing a civil lawsuit claiming the Astros cheated Mike Bolsinger.
Jimmy, you got some details of the civil lawsuit over there?
$31 million is what he's trying to get. He's not looking for his own pocket. He wants to donate this to the youth of leagues to make sure that, you know, cheating isn't something that you need to do going forward. And he also wants to use that money, if he were to get into this civil lawsuit where he's trying to get $31 million, also to a Major League Baseball veterans.
Yeah, look, this is kind of one of those deals for me that if that is the case, that he – it's got legs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's not – it's – the Major League Baseball, the Astros, they're guilty, right? They're guilty as hell. And so when something like this pops up and it's a guy that's – I believe the 30-some-odd million dollars is tied to the earnings or the revenue generated – by the Astros in the postseason in 2017, I believe. It's somehow all tied together. Anyway, it's $31 million, and he wants it to go to essentially teach young kids in the game of baseball that cheating is not necessary and to somehow assist in Major League Baseball veterans of the game. To me, that those things have legs when you're talking about lawsuits in this situation and because of this scandal.
Yeah, I asked an attorney friend, and he said that the discovery process could be interesting too. Like if there's investigators outside of Major League Baseball, like independent investigators, that could be something that is That could be interesting. I would imagine that if it ever got to that point, perhaps it's something that you can settle out of court. A lot of folks also don't think it's ever going to get in front of a judge, that it'll be thrown out before that is ever the case. But it is interesting that, you know, you have a pitcher who felt like he was cheated, that is filing a $31 million civil lawsuit against the Houston Astros. And if it does indeed have legs, you know, Bolsinger might not be the only one. We talked about Chris Medlin last week, that the last time that he pitched in the big leagues was against the Houston Astros. And Freddie Freeman was weeping for his former teammate Medlin because he felt like the Astros cheated him. So this is something that, you know, isn't going away. It isn't going away anytime soon.
No, it's going nowhere. It's only going to get worse as spring training starts.
Yeah. And we'll be at spring training because of Texas Bay Credit Union. Sports Radio 610 will be on site at spring training. 713-572-4610. Let's go to Bill. Bill, what's up?
Hey there.
Hey.
I've been a Houston baseball fan since Bobby Shantz threw the first pitch in the temporary stadium. That means I am old, okay? And I am a huge, huge fan of AJ and Lunau. I am so disappointed. First off, my first question, what did Mike Fiers get out of this thing? He didn't get squat. Nobody will like him. Nobody will trust him. I would hate for him to be on the mound and come up against the Astros again. Number two, these excuses of wish I had done more are so lame. How about you didn't do anything? And then thirdly, I wonder how much more pressure the batters will be under this year without them getting a heads up on what pitch is coming at them.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Bill. It will be interesting to see what happens in 2020 going forward, the Houston Astros.
Yeah, look, I mean, we talked about it multiple times. It's the only thing the Astros can do is go out and win ball games. If they win ball games, they can say, "Hey, we did it without cheating. We did it without the scandal. We did it clean." And so therefore the scandal will not look as bad. If they go out there and lose ball games and don't swing the sticks as well as they have in the past, oh, it's 17, 18, 19, then there's going to be huge concerns, huge question marks.
Certainly, they'll get asked a lot by the media members, and they'll be asked a lot, of course, in spring training as well. A former Houston Astro apologized recently about the sign stealing as well in 2017. So this is the second Houston Astro 2017 baseball player that has apologized for the cheating scandal. No current Houston Astros have done so, but Charlie Morton, the latest to speak out about it. He says, "I was aware of the banging. Being in the dugout, you could hear it. I don't know when it dawned on me, but you knew it was going down."
Charlie Morton,
thank you, Mr. President. "Personally, I regret not doing more to stop it. From a personal standpoint, good people make mistakes. It's as simple as that. I really don't have anything else to say about it. I think mistakes were made, and everybody is just trying to move on." Charlie Morton had to say.
Yeah, look, again, there's more and more apologies are going to come out. I think the pitchers in these situations, the Charlie Mortons, the Verlanders, the Garrett Coles, their responses are going to be more interesting. I know why the hitters did it, right? But to me, it's one of those where you sit around and you go, if you're Verlander and you're one of the greatest of all time, and you are with this particular organization a big time leader. If you're Garrett Cole and you're out there putting together, record setting and record breaking outings and seasons and stats. If you're throwing that stuff up on the board on a weekly basis, you've got a pretty strong voice in that organization. I don't know what Charlie Morton had at the time in the Astros clubhouse. I wouldn't think that he carried a big portion of the leadership on his shoulders. So I appreciate the apology there, but I just doubt that he was a guy that probably had the ability to step up and take some leadership. But the Verlanders, the Coles, Hinch, definitely. Some guys outside of players that got paid to hit the rock at the plate, it's their apologies and their reactions are what I'm really interested in.
Yeah, hey, we'll see what happens at spring training. Sports Radio 610 will be there thanks to Texas Bay Credit Union. Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Rockets were in action last night. They They fell to the Utah Jazz, 114-113. Bogdanović hit the three at the buzzer. The Rockets had a nice little come from behind. Looked like they were going to pull out the win when they were trailing with about 2 minutes left to play. But Bogdanović just ruined the night at the Toyota Center yesterday for the Rockets.
Yeah, it's hard to be disappointed in that game. I mean, I think they weathered a monster storm when they went cold from beyond the three-point line. They lost the lead. They were able to fight back. And I think you saw a Rockets team that had hit some adversity within this new style, this small ball style that they're playing, and they continued to fight through it and position themselves to win a ball game. And, you know, here's the deal, JB, is like they got a dagger. I mean, just a 1.6 seconds left on the clock. Utah calls a timeout, moves it to – advances the ball to half court. They throw the inbound pass in, and my man catches it and throws up a prayer. He was double teamed. You couldn't have defended it any better, and it somehow goes in. Great shot. Tip your hat to him. You leave the floor. That was a product that I believe that the Rockets should be extremely proud of. You played first of all without Eric Gordon, so that was a factor, and more so than just. A lot of teams you play without one of your top five, six, seven guys, it's no big deal. But in this scheme, he is a big time factor. In fact, I've heard my man Sean Pendergast, which I couldn't agree with him more. That's a straw that stirs the drink. When Gordon's on the floor and he's knocking down threes, this team is very, very, very difficult to beat. And so you played without that guy, you weathered the storm, you fought through some adversity. And you put yourself in position to win that basketball game, and you ended up losing on a dagger, but you got to be proud of what was put out there.
There's some signs that this is working. When they beat the Lakers, that was a statement victory. Look, I'm not going to – the second leg of the back-to-back at Phoenix, that's tough as it is. You're not going to win many back-to-backs in this league.
And Gordon went down and you didn't have Westbrook.
Right, yeah. So I'm willing to dismiss that. Yesterday against the Jazz – I like Eric Gordon. I don't think he's the straw that stirs the drink on a team that has Russell Westbrook and James Harden.
I don't think that's taken out of context. The point is that he's the one, that he's the X factor, that when he's draining shots, when he's filling it up, when he impacts the game, the Rockets are next level hard to stop, if that makes sense. I mean, everybody knows Harden and Westbrook are going to get theirs, but when you add that third one, which is usually consistently from anywhere on the floor, it's Gordon, then they take their game to the next level, and they become very, very difficult to beat.
I told you the numbers I was going to watch all year was rebounding. Rockets got out-rebounded by 12 yesterday. I told you I was going to watch turnovers, though. Rockets only turned it over 6 times. Utah yep. turned it over 15 times. Rockets actually had 9 more shots in that game yesterday than the Jazz did. So to me, that's a sign that this is working. In fact, the reason I think that they lost is because they put Tyson Chandler in the game. They put a big man into the game when they were going to the small ball style. They sold their soul to small ball. You put a big man into the game, what happens? They hit a miracle shot. You sold your soul to small ball. Stick to it.
Yeah. Look, I hear what you're saying now. I like you. You're talking about stirring a drink. You're stirring the pot a little bit because that didn't have anything to do with it. But I hear what you're saying.
He could have taken away that pass. I'm not sure why he was defending
the
paint.
He had 18 feet of body strung out there in front of the guy that was trying to inbound it. What else do you want him to do?
Move to the right. Take away that pass to the top of the arc. That's what I wanted him to do.
I got you.
A.J. Hinch speaking for the first time since the cheating scandal that left him without a job. He spoke with Tom Verducci of MLB Network. Giant takeaways to take of this that, of course, it happened whenever we were on the air Friday. I listened back to it late Friday night, but a lot of juice coming from this A.J. Hinch interview with Tom Verducci and MLB Network.
Yeah, look, I mean, I think that the fact that he was extremely genuine and sincere throughout, it's easy to get hung up on every single word and try to dissect it get hung up on every single topic. But I think big picture that A.J. Hinch was genuine, sincere, took the blame, square in the face. Even when he was given the opportunity and asked a question in a direction that he could have passed the buck, so to speak, he could have passed the blame to somebody else, he didn't. He stared it right in the face, and even if he made a comment that mentioned somebody else, he back-ended it with, hey, man, it happened on my watch. I take full responsibility. And so I think big picture for me, Hinch won. I think as much as he possibly could win, which is not much given the circumstances at this point in time.
Yeah.
But he took a step forward, I think, in fans' eyes. I think he took a step forward in Major League Baseball personnel's eyes. I don't know what that, you know, how many steps he needs to take to get back to where he can get back in this league and coach. I do think he'll coach in this league, manage in this league again sooner rather than later. I don't know what that process to get there looks like, but I think he took a step in the right direction.
And, of course, Sports Radio 610 will be onside at spring training thanks to Texas Bay Credit Union pitchers and catchers reporting on Thursday. So it'll be interesting to see what the players have to say for the first time. We're expecting an apology. Jim Crane said that the Astros will apologize when spring training opens up in February. Here's an example of A.J. Hinch during that conversation with Tom Verducci of taking blame for what happened in 2017.
You know, it happened on my watch, and I'm not proud of that. I'll never be proud of it. I didn't like it. But I have to own it because in a leadership position, I mean, the commissioner's office made it very, very clear the GM and the manager were in position to make sure that nothing like this happened, and we fell short.
That's one thing that I liked from A.J. Hinch is, like, look, we make mistakes, right? We make mistakes in everything that we do. Now, A.J. Hinch's is very public. It's very much on display because It's something that has rocked Major League Baseball. But I always try to act this way, and I tell other people, too, to, like, accept ownership for your mistakes. You're always going to err. Like, we're not perfect. You're going to make mistakes along the way whenever you're living life. But whenever you do make those mistakes, own up to it. Show responsibility. Yeah. Try to be better the next time.
There's nothing worse than the guy that is always the victim. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing worse than that guy. Definitely nothing worse than that guy. When it's a manager or a former manager, a guy that's in a leadership position. And so, to me, I guess I probably expected Hinch to, I mean, you know, you get to know a guy as you cover him throughout the season and you hear their press conference. We listen to so much audio here in this business is that you get to know guys and you feel pretty, you know, your gut will tell you whether a guy is a stand-up guy or not. I don't know that I ever doubted that Hinch was a stand-up guy, so I'm not surprised at all by the way that he came out on the back end of this interview. But I was impressed, not surprised. I was impressed with his ability to consistently, over a 25-minute interview, consistently remind everybody that it was on his watch and that he's the one to blame and that he'll be better because of it.
Yeah, he had a bunch of times when he could have, redirected the responsibility of this. Like whenever they talked about the players and, you know, the players said that if Hinch told them to stop, then they would have stopped. And Hinch still, he said, I appreciate that because, you know, that means that they would have listened to me. But it also makes me feel bad because it means I could have put an end to what became one of the biggest scandals in Major League Baseball history. How are you feeling about what A.J. Hinch had to say? 713-572-4610. You thought it was Bush League. Remember the 2019 press conference in the playoffs whenever they were talking about the whistling and the Houston Astros were picking up, you know, this whatever signs or tipping pitches or they were doing something that wasn't kosher, as you would say. And A.J. Hinch, he said, like, put your name to it. If the people are coming out and saying this, put your name to it. And saying that in 2019, people are going back now and what happened in 2017 and saying, look, this doesn't age well. This is not a good look for A.J. Hinch. And A.J. Hinch addressed that question with Tom Verducci of Major League Baseball.
We had played a couple games against the Yankees. And the issue in question was dating back to, like, game one. And so I knew a little bit about it going in, and it wasn't until we got to New York when I was getting asked the question.
The accusation was that you were getting signs and relaying by whistling to them.
And we weren't. When I sat at that podium, I'm going to defend this group of players, and that's my job, and that's how I felt. And I didn't like the line of questioning. It was uncomfortable. I came out firm. It was talking about 2019, and then when the investigation started, and we started getting investigated about 2017, I know it looks bad because it kind of gets blurry in the entire organization over the course of a few years. But I believed in what we were doing in 2019.
So that was A.J. Hinch addressing the what you know, didn't look good. Him saying that, you know, put your name on in 2019, but Hinch very clearly said, look, I was talking about the 2019.
Yeah, I just thought it was Bush League by MLB Network and all those involved to interview a guy about being disciplined, where he's suspended for a year and fired from the manager position with the Houston Astros based off of what happened 2017 and briefly in 2018 is to my knowledge what essentially caused the fallout that is today. To use a 2019 press conference where he answered a couple of questions pretty arrogantly about the whistling versus the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
To tie that, it was unnecessary. Like, if that would have happened, like, when they first played it, I thought, damn, this is going to be good because this is going to be a press conference in 2017 when it was going on, and he denied it or something. Well, this is a year removed from when it ended, and to me was just 100% unnecessary to include in that interview. There were several different ways to spin it, but to literally go from talking about something that happened in 2017 and then showing a 2019 press conference, I think that's unfair to say the very least.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of where we are though, right? Like there's everything that comes out with the Houston Astros. You have 29 other cities and 29 other fan bases that are ready to jump all over it, right? Like they're in the water looking for blood with anything that comes out about the Astros.
That's an official, JB. That's an official. This is like, okay, I'm going to do a sit down interview with you, and we're going to, and I mean, there's an understanding of what's going to be discussed before they ever sit down.
Uh-huh.
Now I'm not to say that the reporter or the you know, he may be able to go wherever he wants with it, but there's an understanding of what's going to be discussed when they sit down. And I just think as a viewer, like, I don't give a rip what he said in 2019 based off of some when he was asked about whistling versus the Yankees. We're talking about 2017 and the fact that they won a title stealing signs illegally. We're not talking about what was going on in 2019 when they were whistling and they got into a little arrogant exchange with a reporter in a post game press conference. I think it was misleading.
Right.
To me, it was misleading. They were trying to paint the picture of, well, y'all were cheating y'all's ass off over here, and then you're up being arrogant to the media over here. Well, bro, that was at least a year, if not a year plus, removed from when they proved that they were cheating. I just think it could have been that particular part just rubbed me wrong.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And 713-572-4610 if you want to get in on this. I tend to agree with that because, like, in 2019, he's defending the team that just went on the field and beat the Yankees. And he thinks that they're playing clean, obviously. He thinks that they just flat out were a better team than the Yankees. So he's going to defend his guy saying, no, look, we're not doing anything that's, you know, not up to snuff here. We're not doing anything that you would classify as cheating or Bush League or whatever. We just flat out beat them.
Right.
And now I also get the other side of the story is that you have somebody who was now, we know, cheating in 2017, and now they're talking very boldly and very confidently about something down the road of, yeah, put your name to it while he has some skeletons in his closet.
Sure. No, look, I totally understand the why they did it. And I totally understand people that watch it and go, well, he's a piece of crap for doing that. I mean, I totally understand why you feel the way that you do.
Right.
I just personally feel like if you were going to take post-game press conference material and use it in this particular interview, it should have been more to the dates of when they were actually cheating versus trying to paint this arrogant manager takes the podium and defends his team to a fault, when in reality they can't prove that they were still cheating in 2019. That's my only pushback is I thought that could have been left out, and I'm not real sure what they were trying to prove at that point.
Like
when they showed the video of the pitcher
Danny Farquhar calling
timeout. Now that was 2017. That was in the heart of it, right? Yeah. I mean that was part of the investigation. That guy's name had been mentioned. That pitcher's name had been mentioned throughout. I don't know about the investigation itself, but definitely throughout our conversations when the fallout was falling out, if you know what I mean. And so That I could see. Okay, I understand that. But pulling 2019 press conference stuff to me was uncalled for.
713-572-4610. Let's go to Richard from Waller. Richard, what's up? Richard.
Anything that was done is now, you know, it's delegitimized, and that's what makes it bad.
What was the first part of that, Richard?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I'm just saying, first of all, I love you guys' show, and I love both of y'all's takes, and I love your back and forth and how you partner on your show. I disagree with both of you, however, on this on the interviewer calling 2019 into play in Hinch's interview, because here's the situation in my opinion. Once you've been caught doing this, see, the Astros, everything they've done in everybody else, in everybody else's mind has been delegitimized. But more importantly, if anyone else has been on this scandal, and remember the Red Sox scandal hasn't even been concluded yet. See, the Astros is covering everybody else's sins in this. And so anybody who's ever had any suspicions or any inkling of any wrongdoing, see, it's now very conveniently all cast upon the Astros to take the hit for everybody. So if you're a responsible journalist and you were assigned that interview with Hinch, you'd go down the 2019 road too, because it appears, rightfully or not, we don't know the condition of his heart, that because he did know about 2017 and then, you know, claims to take the high road in 2019, no one wants to hear that, because you have a past knowledge that disqualifies that legitimacy. And any good journalist would uncover that and go after it. So while I'm all about the Astros, I completely support any reporter's right to go down that road, because those reporters were doing their job with integrity, and we have to suffer that hit as Astros fans. That's all I got.
Appreciate the call, Richard, and he brings up good points. You know, if it's something that occurred in 2017 and parts of 2018, it's something that he has lived with, and Major League Baseball felt that they were right bringing it up, even though that it would happened in the 2019 season.
Look, nobody's wrong in the deal. I mean, I don't think anybody's wrong in the deal. I mean, hell, if he comes back and he's a manager in 2024, if he goes to the podium and says my guys weren't doing it, that wasn't the case. I mean, can we tie that back to what was going on in 2017? I mean, it's one of those deals where I'm not mad about it. I totally understand that it's part of a reporter's job and digging deep into, you know, what's necessary. I just don't know that a 2019 post-game press conference was necessary in the initial 25 minute interview. Just my opinion, for what it's worth.
Clinton JB listening to some parts of the A.J. Hinch press conference on – or not the press conference, the one-on-one interview with Tom Verducci on MLB Network. On players saying if Hinch said stop, I mentioned this earlier. Here's what A.J. Hinch had to say whenever the players said that if their manager told them to stop, they would have.
That the players stated that if manager A.J. Hinch told them to stop engaging in the conduct, they would have immediately stopped. Do you believe that to be true?
That's hard to hear. I hope so. No, I hope so. You know, I hope that as in a manager position,
hitting the monitor with a bat wasn't enough.
Clearly, it wasn't. And I think that's what I look back at as something I could have done better. I think as you grow in confidence, right, as you grow as a manager, if you look at my career, I'm much more confident today than I was in 2017. Where I fell short is I didn't believe that at the time. Otherwise, I probably would have handled it differently, and I should have.
So that was A.J. Hinch on what he had to say in regards to if the players told him to stop, they would have stopped.
Yeah, look, it's another. Point for me where I give A.J. Hinch credit for at that point he could have said, well, I broke two TVs. What else you need me to do, right? But he went on and talked about how immature he was at 20, or really how much more mature he is today than he was in 2017. So again, I tip my cap to to A.J. Hinch for that answer as well.
Now, the biggest answer that A.J. Hinch gave during this Q&A with Tom Verducci on MLB Network last Friday was how he answered the question about the buzzer allegations in 2019. A lot of folks feel like he ducked it, like he dodged the question, that he didn't answer it at all. Tom Verducci says that A.J. Hinch was very transparent with every answer and felt like he answered every single question. So here is A.J. Hinch answering the buzzer question if the Astros used it in 2019.
Well, the commissioner, we got investigated for 3 months, and the commissioner's office did as thorough an investigation as anyone could imagine was possible. I mean, I know he mentioned the emails and the texts and the messages, and I believe them.
So that was A.J. Hinch answering the question. Tom Verducci said that Robert Manfred has looked into this, that Robert Manfred has looked into the buzzer allegations in 2019, and that the MLB's investigation found nothing in regards to the buzzers in 2019. I don't know how you could listen to that question from Verducci that we didn't have, and then A.J. Hinch's answer to that question and say that he ducked this question or he dodged this question. To me, he's saying, yes, Robert Manfred is right in the fact that the Astros didn't use buzzers in 2019. Robert Manfred said that they didn't. They investigated it. They found nothing. I agree with what he found.
Yeah, this is the one part where for me, now I think it was strategically done. Like, here's what I believe. I believe that A.J. Hinch wants back in the league, obviously. He says it at the end of the interview that he wants to manage again.
Yeah.
And so A.J. Hinch has got to be really, really careful in this situation. Most importantly, to the players, in my opinion, right? I mean, I think he knows if he sticks to the report that he's going to be okay with the commissioner, and he knows that whatever facts there are that we may or may not know, that Jim Crane knows him, and if he's got a chance to get back in this league, the owners would probably communicate with Jim Crane if they were ever going to entertain hiring A.J. Hinch again.
Yeah.
The players are the ones, to me, that he has to really tread lightly with, because if he gets back in this league, which again, I believe that he will sooner rather than later, if he gets back in this league, the one thing that he can't afford to do is not have respect from within the clubhouse. And so to me, this is one of those where I would have liked, it would have been very easy for A.J. Hinch to go, to my knowledge, the answer is absolutely 120% no chance there were buzzers in my clubhouse used by my players, right? I just wonder if his answer was a little bit elusive simply because he was afraid of calling players out or creating any doubt in that situation.
So, yeah, I don't have a problem with that response. The problem I have with it is the fact that there's folks out there saying that he didn't answer the question. Like, to me, I was pretty convinced it was a no, though. Like, to me, listening to the question and how the question was set up to A.J. Hinch giving his answer, to me, that's saying, yes, I believe the commissioner. When the commissioner said, no, it did not happen in 2019, I believe the commissioner when he says that there were no buzzers in 2019. I think that is a no.
But that's an indirect – that's an indirect answer. Like, I'm asking you, you were the manager. You were the one in charge of all these guys. You were in the dugout with these guys. You were in the clubhouse. You were aware of a sign-stealing scheme to the point of where you smashed two TVs. Now I'm asking you about buzzers on the players, and you want to reference the investment. Now, we ain't talking – if I wanted to know what the investigation and what that report consisted of, then we'd get Manfred up here and let him and have a Q&A with him.
Yeah.
You know, the question was to the manager of the Astros about whether buzzers were used or not, and it was avoided. It wasn't answered directly. And so that's the one part to me where, although I understand why, I think him wanting to get back in the league in Major League Baseball as a manager, he probably towed that line lightly. And I think if he did, it was 100% to respect the players at all costs.
I'll agree to disagree with you on that.
Fair enough.
Clint Sterner, Jeremy Branham coming up next. With all of this, though, with the Wall Street Journal article, with what A.J. Hinch had to say, there are a lot of questions surrounding the Houston Astro players when spring training opens up. Pitchers and catchers report on Thursday. Sports Radio 610 will be there on site at spring training, thanks to Texas Bay Credit Union.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.